Good to see everyone. The Old Testament, as was read in our scripture reading, the Israelites were commanded by Moses to love the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their might or their strength. And that's not something that goes unnoticed when we come over the Gospels, because we find Jesus being asked, and this coming up a number of times, but over in Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 36 through 38, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." And he then says, "This is the first and great commandment." So he goes on to say, loving your neighbor as yourself is the second, and he basically says that on those two commands really sums up the idea of what the old law was about, that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and you are to love your neighbor as yourself. But this first one is called the first and great commandment. So if someone were to ask you, what is the first and great commandment? It is the fact that you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Now, Jesus was demanding this really of his followers, of his disciples, when he made this statement in Matthew chapter 10. If you look at the scripture up here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, he says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." That's really summed up in this idea of you have to love him first above all others. And that's what the old law required. Even the closest of relationships, and that's what he's getting at here, is the closest of relationships cannot stand between you and your God. So first is first, and loving God with all is what we're told and instructed to do. It was, in fact, again, something out of the old law, but again, this is something that we need to do even as God's people today, because we're, you know, loving God is primary and first and foremost. Now, I want to break this down a little bit with this idea of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. So turn, if you would, over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, because this adds where the other, well, Mark and Luke both have four things, where Matthew would just be your heart, soul, and your might, like the old law. But if you look at Mark's account, I want you to read with me verse Mark chapter 12. Let me find where I have that marked down. Sorry, I actually didn't put that down here. This is strangely enough, it's actually the text I'm using when we get Mark 12, verse 30. Mark 12, verse 30. "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. This is the first commandment." I want to use this one to talk about four things. But before we do that, I want to kind of break this down, and I want to talk about what does he mean by love, loving God. Well, this you'll recognize as the Greek word. There's agape, the noun. Agapeo is the verb. And he uses the word agapeo here, "thou shalt love the Lord thy God." So this word love, really I think the best way to understand what it means to love and what he means here by saying love the Lord your God with this agapeo love is to actually consider God himself. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8, it just plainly says, God is love. So that makes me recognize that if I want to understand what God means by love, I need to look at God himself to understand what it means to love. God is clearly known by his love, by his actions. So really, we're also going to understand that and it's real easy to understand this point from the standpoint of I can't just say to Lisa, I love you. My actions have to demonstrate that. Otherwise, it's just empty words. It's just words. Because love is known by actions. So how is God Himself love? Well, that's why we love the passage in John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's clearly the reason we like that is God's love is known because of the gift that He gave us in Jesus Christ. So there is a loving action in the giving of His Son to save you and I. God is love, agapeo love. God loves us. His action says so. I gave my only begotten Son. Now, Jesus loves us. Look at John chapter 15 and in verse 13 and 14. In John 15, verse 13 and 14, we know that Jesus loves us because we know Jesus in His actions, actually, as we remembered around the table, Jesus gave His body. It was brutally slaughtered. That's the words of Isaiah 53, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter. His body was slaughtered. It was broken. It was destroyed. It was pierced. It was cut. It was just mutilated. And what we learn is that, and then He shed His blood, which is where life comes from, but that's how you have remission of sins. And He freely did that. That was His loving action. That's how you know Jesus loves us. Now look at what He says there in chapter 15, verse 13. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So what did Jesus do? Well, He lays down His life. And there is no greater demonstration of love than for you to give up your very life, your physical life, for somebody else. We call that in our country, we call that the greatest sacrifice that a person can give, is to lay down their life for others. Jesus didn't, you know, our soldiers do that for you American citizens. They're not doing that for other countries. Jesus did this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So God in His actions gave His Son. Jesus willingly gave His life. He said, no man takes it, I lay it down. And so He let them crucify Him, which was the struggle He had, because, you know, knowing what you're going to go through and having to go through that. So there is the demonstration of His love. Now, what would a person's natural response be to someone who gave their life for you? What would your natural response be? Well, it naturally would seem that you would love them tremendously for doing that. You would have this strong, and you would want to, we see this depicted in the idea of, well, you saved my life, now I've got to serve you the rest of my life. This whole idea of now I'm going to demonstrate my love for what you did, in that I'm going to love you and I'm going to do all of these things for you, it's going to be seen in actions. So it would seem natural for a person, and if we grasp the love of God and what God did, and when I say God, I'm talking about what the Father did, what the Son did, the Holy Spirit in His part of salvation, what God did, the Godhead, what God, deity, did, it would, when I can grasp that, really lay my mind on that, I would love. So here's what Jesus, or rather John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. Summed it up very nicely like this. We love Him because He first loved us. He first loved me. Make that personal. It's the natural response. When I see God's love for me, in what he did in Jesus Christ. It seems rather natural, when I can really grasp that, to love him. But he is the first cause. He loved me, which is why we like what Paul said to the church at Rome. God demonstrates his love to us then in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God was the first one to act, and because God loves, what do? I love in response. Now that would seem the way this should go. And I think one of the reasons that it doesn't go this way, and then what would I do the rest of my life? I would serve him, I would obey him. But what gets in the way? I don't really grasp what God has done and the magnitude of his love. And so when I begin to understand this, like we're thinking about this morning, it stirs within us, it stirs within me, when I grasp this, a desire to love God. And here's where we're headed to the next part of this, with all of my being, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with all of my mind. But let's consider this idea of with all, which is what I titled the lesson, with all. Well, here you have Thayer's definition of the word, what it means, all. You have Strong's definition of what it means, all. Here you have just a plain old dictionary that I have on my computer and what all means. It means the whole. Love the Lord thy God with all, with the whole heart, with the complete heart, or wholly, or completely. And then the dictionary says the total of the whole amount. And so, you remember Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't bring the whole amount. They brought part of it, but let everybody believe they'd brought the whole amount. They didn't bring it all. So we understand this word all. We are to love the Lord our God with all. And so no doubt we have to work on surrendering our all. All of our being to God. I think we have to work at that. Don't you agree? Now, when I grasp this, it would seem that it would be the very natural thing, but I have to work at surrendering all of myself. So when I sin, see, I stumble, I fall. I need to repent. I need to confess that. I need to be forgiven. I need to move on. We understand the word all when Jesus said that he was given all authority in heaven and in earth. What would you mean? Complete. Every bit of it. There's not any bit of authority that he doesn't have. So we understand what that means. And no one and nothing can have the supremacy of the love of God and my love for him. Now that's a pretty strong statement when Jesus says that here is the first and great commandment, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and then in our text, with all thy mind. With every bit. But that's what is before us. So, I want to break this down, and this will be our lesson. Let's talk about what does it mean that I am to love the Lord God. When I think of God, I think of the Father, I think of what the Son has done. I think of all that we studied the Holy Spirit, all that the Holy Spirit does. This is a present tense. These beings are not dead. They're active. They're God. And what does it mean that I love him with all my heart? Now, I selected this text, again, because it adds the word mind. But the first thing that the text and the Gospels say, even back in the Deuteronomy, is that we are to love with our heart. Now, what's very interesting here is, and the reason I picked the text that has the mind is, most of the time, like I brought a lesson not long ago, coming from the heart, coming from the heart. And the first point that I make about that is we're not talking about my physical heart. We're talking about how it really means I have to love him with my intellect, my mind, my thoughts, because that's what animates everything else. Well, here we have a distinction when we have the word heart and we have the word mind. So we kind of need to look at this with those two being independent of one another. So how would you do that? Well, that's where when we think about Valentine's Day coming up, and you're going to be giving all those chocolate hearts in those heart boxes and all this type of things, and you're saying that I love you, and so you're giving this action that would say that I love you, and you're saying that, yes, I love you with my intellect. We'll set that aside, but you also, as husband and wife, or maybe even there's someone special that you're dating or something along that lines, and you're thinking, but I have a lot of affection towards you. I have a lot of emotional type things with you as well. So we're not talking about the intellect here. We're talking about, and it's hard to distinguish here between heart, soul, and the heart and the soul and the mind, but they're all there, so we need to make a distinction because you're talking about things that are taking place inwardly. But we know when we think about the heart today, we talk about, oh, they're their heart has fallen for them, or they have puppy love or something of that nature. Well, love for God or worship cannot be stoic. And what I mean by the word stoic is, I mean, it can't be passive or unfeeling. So what we're talking about, loving God with our heart, we're talking about loving Him with feelings. With feelings. There should be emotions. There should be emotions that spring forth from our love of God. And sometimes that comes out like it does for me. Sometimes there are just certain songs that just really tug at my heartstrings. They really do just really touch me, the thoughts. And sometimes my emotions will, then I'll shed tears and I can't hardly sing. That would be, again, this idea. We're not talking about that's all there is I just got to love God emotionally. That's not, we're gonna deal with the other parts in the mind, but we do need to worship God with emotions. We cannot be passive or unfeeling. Does everybody understand? That's, I believe, what he says when we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. I think the spiritual part is we're not just bumps on a log. We are, in fact, emotionally engaged in our worship and things of that nature. Now, when it comes to loving God, I'm going to have that emotional attachment and feelings that is plucked when I think about God's love, when I think about the cross, when I think about what God did, when I think about all the things that He does, even right down to my daily care and how He blesses me. There should be gratitude. See, that's an emotional thing. That should come from the heart. That should be something that the heart is stirred because of my love for God. So love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, if you'll turn back there, Jesus condemned the heartless words and heartless honor. And that's where it just becomes, in the words that we say today, is it's just lip service. We may be just singing and it's just words because there isn't any understanding, but there may not be really any attachment or any type of heart involved because the love is perhaps lacking in our life. You remember all, so it takes all of our heart. In 15 and verse 8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The emotional feelings and love and obedience that comes, and you got to tie in the intellect there as well, because this isn't just a better felt type of thing, but we love God with our whole heart. The other thing he says is, he says we are to love with our whole heart. Soul, with all of my soul. Well, the word soul can be challenging, But what I want to do is I want you to look at Matthew chapter 16 right here, which is where we were just at in 15. Turn over to 16. And if you look at verses 24 to 26, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man has come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. We'll just stop there really at verse 26. So 24, 25, and 26. Do any of you have a translation that instead of soul, it says life? Anybody say life? I'm not asking a call out, but does, no, everybody says soul? Says life. Okay, thank you. And that's because that same Greek word, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, is translated in this passage, and rightfully so, the word life. If you will give and surrender your life. And I think that if we think about this from loving the Lord thy God with all of your soul, now again, we understand that we're talking about inward things, and we understand that there's a soul and a spirit within a body, and we've already dealt with the emotions. Here, I think what we're talking about and what I've put here is you got to serve and love God with all of your life, all of your life, all of your soul. And I think that's the idea of what he's getting at, is every day you give God your life. That's the idea of Romans 12, verse 1. You are a living sacrifice. You're forfeiting now your life. You forfeit your time on earth. You serve God here because the reward when in the afterlife far outweighs anything that you might have been able to do that you forfeited. Don't feel slighted. But he says it's going to take you loving God with all of your soul. That's the part of you, of course, that brings about your very life, that animates your life, the soul. So that made me think of, we love this song, As the Deer Pants for Water. That comes from Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the deer pants for the water's brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. Well, what's he doing there? He's saying, well, you know, the deer longs to get down to the brook to get water. The very basic of life, to refresh the animal. And he says, that the psalmist says, that's how I feel. My soul, my inward being longs, my very life longs for God. And so you can see how closely tied the heart and the soul are, because there's an emotional attachment, feelings. There's also the inward desires of life that then long. Now, God loved me. God loved, therefore, I love in response. And so when we grasp that, we understand, well, I'm going to give him my all. I'm going to love him with my heart. I'm going to love him with my soul. I'm going to love him with my mind. And on this occasion, again, Mark as well as Luke records that Jesus said, also with my mind. Now when I think about loving God with my mind, we can understand it means to love him with my understanding. We're talking about that part of grasping the message of the cross, grasping the magnitude of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and what it means to us. Actually, intellectually understanding this, grasping this, And then also when you think of your mind, you think about, well, that's what's taking place is my thoughts. And right now, you're having thoughts. You may be having thoughts of this is getting too long, or you may be having thoughts, I wonder what I'm having later. And I always hate to say, put the food in suggestion into your head when it's getting to where you're going to start getting hungry. But you have thoughts, and you're thinking about things now. And maybe that just snapped you out, and you thought, oh, I need to come back. What is he saying? You have thought. That's your mind. And God says, I want you to worship, or rather love me with all of your mind, completely, all of your mind. And so I receive the will of God. Intellectually, I apply it to myself. I surrender my life, my soul. And when I think about the message of the gospel, now just follow me. Just think about this just in these terms, intellectually. I think about the gospel. I think about God left heaven. He became a man. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. And he died on the cross to pay the price for sin. He was resurrected from the dead. So you and I can have life after death. Man couldn't write that. But when my mind, when it can halfway wrap itself around that thought, how can you not love God with your mind for what He has done? When you grasp what He has done intellectually, then say, I'm going to serve Him with my mind, in my thoughts. And your mind then does what? Sends signals to the body, which then produces the actions that demonstrate, I love God. Now, Jesus said, well, here's the litmus test. If you love me, keep my commandments. So ask yourself, do I love Jesus? Well, you keep his commandments, and there you go. But that's an intellectual thing. And God says the first and great commandment is, you got to make your mind up. And I need to be first. And you need to love me with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. Because your mind is going to rule over your actions. Your mind is going to rule over your words. Your mind is going to rule over your thoughts. And so we need to love God with our mind. And so give it wholly or completely to God. Intellectually serve Him, honor Him, revere Him, love Him in your head. And what's going on around here manifests itself in our actions. That's what the whole lesson was, coming from the heart. What's going on here is what comes out in actions and words and even the thoughts that are taking place there. But He also then said, with all of your strength. And this one is really as it sounds, you know, I love God with all of my ability and all of my power. We looked last week at we are His workmanship created for good works. In fact, one of the passages in Titus, we are to be zealous unto good works, on fire, heated unto good works. We're created for those good works. And what that means is, I'm going to have to exert energy, strength. You see that? It's going to take energy spent. It's going to take time used with my strength. God says, give it your all when it comes to your strength. The Greek word that is translated strength here is translated ability. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. In another passage, that same word is translated ability. That's why I said, with all of your power, with all of your ability. Chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your Ability. Some of us, we give everything to our work. Everything. We say, I give all to my work. God says, give all to me. And you put underneath that umbrella how you work. But God is at the head of all of what we do. Give it your all. There is, what's interesting too is, I don't know how prevalent it is today. That's one of the things is you don't know exactly what is said or not said sometimes by our younger generation. But at the end of a hard day, you know, you would come home and you'd say something like, I'm spent. You ever say that or heard that said, I'm spent? What does that mean? I'm worn out. Mentally, physically, I've given it my all. I'm spent. There's nothing left in the tank. Everybody with me? Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And listen to that, this idea of with all, and how there's nothing left in the tank. I'm spent. And that's how we love God. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14, Paul said, for in fact the body is not... Wait a minute. Let me get in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. He says, now for the third time I'm ready to come to you. I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. Now, basically, flip that around. Here is Paul, who started the congregation in Corinth, and he says, I want to come to you. But in his discussion here, he's saying, when I come, I don't take anything from you. He's done that with the church at Corinth from the start. And they feel slighted in some way. And he basically says, I'm being spent for you. I'm giving my all. Now flip that around. That's what we're being asked to do when he says, with all of your strength. Here's what Barnes says. He says, I'm willing to spend my strength, time, life, and all that I have for your welfare, as a father cheerfully does for the children. Any expense which may be necessary to promote your salvation, I'm willing to submit to, Paul is saying. The labor of a father for his child or children is cheerful and pleasant. Such is his love for them, that he delights in toil for their sake, and that he may make them happy. But put that thought now to what and how you feel about serving God. Happy to do that. Happily love the Father. Happily spend my strength. Happily give my time and my labor. My life, spending my life because I love Him. I love God. Why? Because of He first loved me. And because He first loved me, I love Him. And not only that, but I love Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. I love Almighty God. If you're not a Christian, do you see and understand the magnitude of God's sacrifice? That He loved you so much that He gave His only Son so that you can have eternal life. Will you love Him with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Will you surrender your will and be obedient to the gospel? Not Stacy's gospel, not the gospel of the Tri-Cities congregation, the gospel that's recorded in the Word of God. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, and being converted, we talked about that in the book of Acts, confessing your belief in Christ with your mouth and being baptized to wash your sins away. Today is the wonderful day. Today and now is the day of salvation. We're going to sing an invitation song. We invite you to come so you can start walking as a Christian, serving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. If you're a child of God and all of that's been wavering, something's amiss, we invite you also to come. We'll pray with you and for you. If anyone is in need, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.